Welcome to the Journey Church podcast, where as a church, we believe that Jesus should be accessible to anyone. So if you're at home, work, or somewhere in between, you can have access to the weekend worship experience. We'd love for you to stay connected with us by visiting us at journeyorl.com or any social media platform using @journeyorl. Thanks for being with us, and we really hope you enjoy this message.
Start out by sharing a story on how there was a day recently, just actually a few weeks ago, where I called my husband and I told him, today I just cannot mom for the rest of the day. Like, you're just gonna have to pick up the kids, you're gonna have to do dinner, you're gonna have to take care of the dogs, I just can't. And that day, the reason why I called him and said that was because I suffered from stomach issues. And that day my stomach was just on fire, it was burning, it was pain that I had never experienced before. And my husband was like, do you want me to take you to the hospital? And I'm like, no, because I don't know about you, I'm one of those people that I have to like be bleeding profusely for me to go to the hospital, right? Because I'm like, those bills are expensive. Like, they'd be like, you want to do this, that test? Yeah. And then you go home and it's like $2,000. So I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And so I'm like, I'm going to just rest. And it got so bad that I had to take myself to a walk-in clinic because that's cheaper, y'all. So tip, if you don't want to go to the hospital. I mean, sometimes you see a nurse practitioner, but it is what it is. So like, and they're still good too. So sorry if I'm like offending anybody here. Nurse practitioners are good too. So that's who I actually saw. And so I told her, I was like, listen, I am in so much pain. I need you to tell me what's going on and prescribe me some medication. And this is what she said. She said, I have good news and bad news. The good news is there is some medication I can prescribe to you. The bad news is that I'm not going to prescribe it to you. And I'm like, why? She said, because what's going to happen is you're going to go home, you're going to take the medication, and you're going to feel better. And you're going to think that you're healed. But that's not going to really heal you. That's just going to take care of the symptoms. And she said, what you need to do is you need to go to a specialist so that they can run tests on you, maybe even put a tube down your throat, look deep down inside of you to really see what is going on so you can get the real healing that you need. And so the reason why I share this story with you is because this is a lot like us. A lot of times we try to deal with the symptoms, but we're not really healing the sickness. And so for you, maybe you struggle with comparison. And so you try to put limits on your social media. And that works for a while, but then you see your friend that's doing better than you and you go back to comparing. Or maybe for you, it's cigarette smoking. You're addicted to cigarettes and you invest in a patch and that works for a while, but then you go right back to the 7-Eleven, you're picking up cigarettes. Or maybe for you, you struggle with pornography and you put blockers on your cell phone and your laptop and you try all the things and it works for a while, but then you just go right back to doing the thing that you're doing before. While all those approaches are great, they're not really healing you. They're just dealing with the symptoms. What you need is a specialist, which is Jesus, because he's the one that can heal you. He's the one that knows you deep down inside and can really heal you. And you need to get so close to him that he becomes your best friend. We've been talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but today I want to share with you about God the best friend. And when I speak, I don't get to share often, I like to speak on issues or situations that I have currently been going through or struggles that I've been able to overcome. And if you've heard me speak or preach over the years, you know that my issue, the biggest problem I have is with my anger and my impatience. Okay, and it's not something that I have a problem with. It doesn't come out with me and my husband, because like when we got married, when the Puerto Rican came out, my husband was like, that's not happening with me. Like, He stopped that real quick. But with my kids, I don't know what it is. Like, they just get under my skin. I get tired of repeating to them to like throw out the trash and don't leave wet towels on the floor. It's just over. And I get so frustrated. Like, coming to church on Sundays is a struggle. Like, and I feel like I'm constantly yelling at them. And then I realize over the years that they're getting older and it's going to damage my relationship with them. And so I tried so many things. Like I try to put margin in my schedule so that I'm not all stressed out. I tried this rubber band method where you're supposed to put a rubber band and every time you yell at your kids, you like pull it and it hurts you. And like, it worked for like a day, but I was like, ow, that hurts. I'm not doing that. And then I tried timeout, not for them, but for me. And like, none of it was working. And then I read this Bible verse. It says Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, when I read this Bible verse, I always used to think that it meant that if we sought God first, and he was going to bless us with financial blessings. But this is what God told me. He's like, you're trying so many different things, and those are temporary fixes, and those just work with the symptoms. But what you need to do is you need to seek me so much that I become your best friend. And when you do that, you're going to find true freedom freedom from your worries, your fears, your doubts, and your anxiety. So if you want to be patient when you feel like God's timing is long, or if you want to trust him when things in your life are not making sense, or when you want to do the right thing instead of what's wrong, then you need to see the specialist, and you need to get so close to him that he becomes your best friend. And why does he have to be your best friend? Like, why is it best friend? And so, again, I'm Puerto Rican, so my mom had these sayings that she always used to tell me, and this is something she always used to say. She said, dime con quien andas y te diré quien eres. And if you don't know what that means tell me who you hang out with and I'll tell you who you are. And growing up, my parents were really picky about who I hung out with. And I used to get so frustrated because, like, if they get into problems and my parents would be like, you can't hang out with that person. I'm like, why? Because you're going to become them. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And I actually did. And I ended up picking, like, the worst friends. And so my kids do that. I mean, they have great friends because I picked them. But they get into, like, one of my kids is into basketball only because his friend's into it, which is a little frustrating, right? Because I'm like, he's not even really into it. Like, he's just because his friend does it. And like, that determines what games they play, what they spend their money on, you know, what shows they watch. But that doesn't stop when you get older, y'all. Like, we still do that if you think about it. Like, ladies, your friends started filling their houses with, like, plants and buying plants, and now you do the same thing, and your house looks like a jungle. Like, my house does. Guys, like, you know, your friend started growing a beard and you did too, and now all y'all look like lumberjacks, okay? Like, my husband, I stopped it because he was like, babe, I gotta grow a beard because, you know, I need to look older, you know, because, you know, we're starting a church, and I'm like, up to here, okay? Like, it's not gonna go farther than that. And, like, I'm included in that. Like, I used to have, like, you know, I have friendships with a lot of ladies that are called, like, crunchy moms. Have you ever heard of crunchy moms? Yeah, they're like moms that are into all things natural. Okay, they call them crunchy moms because apparently they eat granola and granola's crunchy. I don't know. But there was a season in my life where my pantry was only filled with, like, brown products, and, like, I didn't eat meat. Our clothes smelled like nothing, but we stunk because we used natural deodorant. It was bad. And this is where my husband drew the line. Like, we couldn't, you're not supposed, when you're a crunchy mom, you're not supposed to use dryer sheets. So then everything has, like, static. So you use dryer balls. So, like, one day we were going to bed at night and my husband went to put the sheet on and he got shocked, y'all. He was like, this is where I draw the line. And he threw the sheet. He was like, tomorrow you're buying Tide and you're buying Clorox and we're getting meat and you're going to shut off that cauldron that you call a diffuser. Like, I'm done with it because we are who we hang out with. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. Because whenever, like, the Bible says, if you associate with fools, you get into trouble. But if you want to be wise, then you got to walk with the wise. In other words, we need to be around those who we want to become. And so this is important because if you want to experience true transformation, then you need to get close to Jesus and he needs to become your best friend. And many of us think that when we first got saved, when we said the prayer of salvation, that was enough. That was a good first step. But you need to take the next step, which is making him your best friend. I wrote it this way: accepting Jesus in our lives makes him our savior, but if we want him to transform us, then he has to become our best friend. And for some of you, maybe you came to church and maybe, you know, you've been to church for a while, like me, like you grew up in church, and maybe you didn't experience the true transformation that you saw other people experience. Might I add that maybe the reason why that didn't happen to you is because you treated your relationship with God more like a religion than a relationship. Maybe you came to the clinic, but you didn't see the specialist. And so I'm here to tell you that if you really want to experience true transformation, there are steps that you have to take. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. My husband talked about that last week, because there's things that you have to do to draw closer to him. That's why it's called walking with Jesus or following Jesus, because there's things that you have to do to get close to him and to stay close to him, because you never end up close to God accidentally. I've been in ministry for over 20 years, and I have never heard anyone say, I was at home watching Netflix, scrolling the gram, and all of a sudden the word of God just came over me powerfully. Like, I've never read the Bible and I knew the word. I've never heard anyone say, I was at the club smoking and drinking and all dancing, and all of a sudden I started talking to people about God. I mean, I've seen drunk people do that before, but they weren't being real about it. Like, I've never heard people say, I was cursing out people in traffic, and then all of a a sudden, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience came over me. I've never heard that happen before, because you never end up close to God accidentally, and there's no such thing as friendship without intentionality. There's intentional things that you have to do. You know that, because if you want to get close to your spouse or your kids or your friends, there's things that you have to do to get closer to them. And that's what I want to talk about today. What do we have to do intentionally to make God our best friend? And so today we're going to look at three people in the Bible that were very close to God, that were God's best friend, and what they did to become close to God. And for me growing up, I had friends that I called just that, friends. Like, I'm one of those people that, like, everybody's my friend when they're really my acquaintance. But my really close friends were called my best friends forever. And so today, in order to help you, I worked hard on this message. In order for you guys to remember all of my points, they spell out BFF. And the first one is be willing. Be willing. A good friend is willing. A good friend is willing to help you move on a Saturday when you want to be by the pool sipping a piña colada, but you do it because your friend asks you to and you love them. A good friend is willing to go to the gym with their friend when they say they want to start becoming fit, and so they want an accountability partner, and you go with them even though you want to stay home and eat donuts and watch TV and not go to the gym. If you think of your spouse as a friend, a good friend is willing to lay down their dreams and their goals and watch the kids so their spouse can go to school and further their education, because that's what friends do. They're willing. And there was a man named Abraham in the Bible that God called him his best friend, and it was because he was willing. James 2, 21 through 24 says, "Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend because of what he did." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. See, God flat out called Abraham his friend. And if you're new to church and you don't know who Abraham is, he's basically a man in the Bible who God gave him a promise that he was going to be the father of many nations, that the land that he was living in as a foreigner, he was going to have so many descendants that they were going to take over the land, that from his bloodline, there was going to be kings. And so after God gave him that promise, he had a son, and he had just one son at that time. And God said, "All right, I want you to take this son and go to the top of that mountain, and I want you to sacrifice this son," which makes no sense. He's supposed to be the father of all nations, and God is asking him to sacrifice his son. And I'm sure Abraham, the whole time, he was willing, he did it, but the whole time he's probably thinking, why is God asking me to do something that makes no sense? But if you know the story, he does it. And right when he's about to sacrifice his son, God stops him, and he tells him this: because you were willing to do the thing that didn't make sense or was uncomfortable, then I'm going to give you the promise that I promised you. And so when I read this story, I understand that if we want to be God's best friend, then we have to be willing to do the things that don't make sense or that are uncomfortable. And trusting, and I wrote it this way, trusting God means being willing to do what God asks, even when it doesn't make sense or it's uncomfortable. This reminds me of when we first started Journey Church. If you're new here, then you don't know that we are here in Fern Park, but we started in Winter Park High School, actually. And I remember when we were going to start the church, my husband had a dream that it was like winter somewhere, which, like, there's a lot of winters out here. There's like Winter Springs, Winter Garden. But when we came to Winter Park, we felt in our heart that this was the place. But then when we went to a training for church planting, they tell you, okay, you need to check the demographics. And this was about eight years ago, or almost nine now. Check the demographics of the city and make sure that the demographics of that city match you. Well, I'll tell you what. The demographics of Winter Park do not match JJ and Liz Vasquez, okay? And I remember thinking, God, are you sure this is what you want us to do? It makes no type of sense, but we were willing to do it. And then we came to Winter Park High School, which we had to be willing. We had to be willing at that time to clean the school because we paid a janitor. Remember that, babe? And they did not clean. I think it was because we left the place better than like we found it. So the janitor's like, there's no point in me being here. And so we had to be willing to clean up. The school smelled. We're all young, not knowing what we're doing. We had to be willing. We had to be willing to set up at 6 a.m., y'all. Shout out to East Campus that does that. We have to be willing to set up, willing to serve the people, willing to take down. And whenever we started the church, it started with about 400 people. The next week, it went down to 200. Weeks later, we were down to like 100 people, y'all. And we had to still be willing to do the thing that didn't make sense, but we kept doing. We kept setting up at 6 a.m. We kept serving people. We kept taking down. We kept setting up at 6 a.m. We kept serving people. We kept taking down. And we did that over and over and over again for almost 8 years now. And look where God has taken the church, because you have to be willing. You got to be willing to do the thing that doesn't make sense. And talk about uncomfortable. I didn't even want to speak here on Mother's Day, okay? I'm just going to be so honest with you. People be like, you look like you're having fun. I'm like, I'm really not. Like, this is not something that I enjoy doing. And then this week, to make matters worse, like 2 weeks ago, my dog had a seizure. I know Pastor JG talked about it. And then this week, both of my kids got flu B, y'all. Like, my kids barely ever get sick because I was, you know, using natural products, but it was a Clorox, babe. They both got flu B, so I'm over here trying to work on my message and holding a bowl while one of them is throwing up, and it was crazy because, but I do it because I love you guys and I love God and I want him to be my best friend and I'm willing. So if you want a true friendship with God, that's what you got to do. And maybe for you, maybe it's something different. Maybe God's leading you to a job that is not even what you studied, you know, and you're like, God, are you sure you want me to go down that path? That doesn't make any sense. And it gets, and you're going to get paid less. But do it. Be willing to do the thing that doesn't make sense. Or maybe for you, you own a business. I understand how that is because I used to own a business. And maybe you're trying to further your business and grow it. And you want to cut corners and do things that the other business leaders are doing. Don't do that. The Bible says whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. God is not going to bless your business if you do it that way. Be willing to do the things that don't make sense. Run your business with integrity. Maybe for you, it has nothing to do with career. Maybe it has to do with your singleness. Maybe for you, you know, as especially us ladies sometimes, we think that we got to put ourselves out there to lock it in. Right? I'm just going to be super, I really felt like I had to talk about this. Maybe for you, being willing, you got to be willing to hold yourself for marriage. And if you're here today and you're like, Pastor Liz, that is so old school. Nobody does that anymore. Listen, I am 40 years old, or 42 actually. So you could call me old school if you want, but I did it the wrong way and I did it the right way. And I saved myself and I've been happily married for 15 years because I was willing to do the thing that was it's uncomfortable, y'all. I know it's uncomfortable to wait till you're married, okay? But make sure you do the thing that's uncomfortable and be willing, even though God asks you to do it, because he's going to bless you. Amen? Tell your neighbor, be willing. There was someone else in the Bible who was willing, and that was David. He was also made God's friend, and he was so close to God that theologians call him a man after God's own heart. And he's one of my favorite people in the Bible to talk about or even to read about. And the reason why he's my favorite is because David messed up so much, y'all. Like, he made so many mistakes, and I'm going to list the things that he did. First, he plotted to kill a man that didn't give him what he asked for. He had an affair with a woman named Bathsheba who was married, which basically caused him to break half of the Ten Commandments in that sin alone, because he had her husband killed, committed adultery, he stole, he lied, and he coveted. And then there was a time in the Bible where God told him to fight a battle that, and he was going to win it. He told him, fight this battle, you're going to win it. Well, before he even fought the battle, he decided he wanted to count the men, and he did a census to make sure he was going to win it. And that wasn't okay, because that was his way of saying he didn't trust God. He couldn't just do what God asked him to do without making sure he was going to win. So he did all of these things. He committed all these sins, broke half of the Ten Commandments, and this is what God said about him to one of his successors. So this is God talking about David to one of his successors. He said, 1 Kings 14:8, I tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, but you have not been like my servant David. This is God talking about David, who kept my commands and followed me with all his heart, doing only what was right in my eyes. 1 Kings 15:5, for David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord. This makes no sense to me, and not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life. 2 Kings 18:3. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. When I read this, I was so confused, because I'm like, David made so many mistakes. He broke half of the Ten Commandments. And God is saying that he kept all of his commands, that he followed him with all his heart, and that he did only what was right. And I'm like, that's not right. When I read this, I was so confused. But then I figured it out when I read the Psalms that David wrote. Watch. Psalms 32, 2 through 5. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. This is him saying that when I didn't confess to God my sins, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, and this is the part, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. God said all those good things about David, like if he had never done anything wrong, because this is my next point, because he fessed up when he messed up. So how do you have such a close relationship with God that he becomes your best friend? You got to fess up when you mess up. David sinned a lot, but he was still considered a man after God's own heart, because every time he sinned, he immediately went to God and he confessed. I mean, it took him a while when it came to the thing with Bathsheba. Like, he didn't confess right away. That took a while. They had a kid. It was a whole thing. But when he came to and he realized that he needed to fess up, he did. And it says that his bones were wasting away. Like, it bothered him so much. And talk about friendship. Think about the friendship, the closest friends that you have right now. They're not the ones that you didn't hurt or didn't hurt you. Your closest friends are the ones that you guys hurt each other, but you fessed up when you messed up. You talked about it and you made amends. And that's the kind of relationship God wants with you. He wants the kind of relationship that whenever you make mistakes that you go to him. And to illustrate this point further, I want to share a story about how that fess up when you mess up plays out in our home. In our home, whenever you do something wrong and then you lie about it, the consequences are worse than if you just tell the truth. And the reason why we do that is because we want to teach our kids, like, you know, whenever you make a mistake, then you go to God. But the same thing, you go to us too. Like, and we can't help you if we don't know where you're at. Like, just be honest. And we, whenever they lie, we spank them. And like, don't come at me, okay? Yes, I spank my kids for two reasons. One, if they lie, and if they disrespect mommy. That was his idea, not mine. And there's a long list of ways you could disrespect mom. But anyways, so recently what happened, how this played out in my house, my son, I'm not going to say who because I'm not going to embarrass my kids. And I'm going to hear it afterwards because then you guys go to them and be like, oh my gosh, I heard what happened. And then they get embarrassed. But one of my kids, he gets afraid at night. And so like they sleep in a bunk bed and he put up this curtain in the bottom bunk. And so we have a camera in the room, by the way. So like whenever we go to the gym and stuff like that, we could see if they're, you know, not killing each other while we're at the gym. And so he put up this curtain in the bottom bunk, and I'm like, why did you do that? And he was like, because I'm trying to keep the demons out, which I'm like, the curtains are not going to stop the demons. You need prayer, boy. But like, I let him do it because it helps him sleep at night. Like, he has a problem sleeping. And so my husband tells me, he's like, babe, think about it. There's a camera in the room. He's putting up a curtain. Don't you think he's doing something? He's not supposed to be behind that curtain. And I'm like, no, babe, it's a demon thing. Just trust him. And so, like, but then weeks later, I'm cleaning his room, and I'm, like, pulling off the sheets, and I found an iPad under his pillow, y'all. And so I pull it out, and I'm like, what is this? And he was like, oh, I just leave it there for safekeeping. And I'm like, that's cap. That's how we talk to our kids. But then, like, when they try to talk to us, like, we'd be like, bro. And they try to talk to us, they're like, that's disrespectful. Don't talk to me like that. So anyways, I'm like, I'm calling cap. Like, you're lying right now, if you didn't know what that means. That's like kids talk. And so then I'm like, you know I can figure out what you were doing, right? I just have to press a couple of buttons, and I'll know what you were doing. Like, it's like with God, like, right? Like, we don't tell him anything, but he knows what we're doing. He sees it. We act like he doesn't see it. And so I look, and I'm like, 2 a.m., you're playing Roblox. And I'm like, bro, and we have a rule in our house that you can't have electronics in the room for that reason, so he could sleep at night. And I'm like, why don't you just tell me the truth? Like, I'm going to find out anyways. He's like, well, because I don't want you to think bad of me. And then he says, also, because I feel like I'm going to mess up anyway, so what's the point of telling you? And I told him this. I'm like, the point is, then I know that I have your heart. The point is, then I know that you care more about our relationship than you do about the consequences or the secrets that you're keeping. I want a deeper relationship with you, and that's the way God is. He wants you to be real with him instead of hiding. And he wants to be real with him instead of having these secrets, because he wants to know that he has your heart. God is the same way. And it doesn't matter how many times you mess up. You can mess up 1,000 times. But if you come to him, trust and know that he's going to forgive you every single time that you come to him. I tell my kids, I'm like, listen, every time I yell at you, okay, because I have that problem, I'm going to try my best to ask for forgiveness. Maybe this year it'll be 100 times and next year it'll be 50 times. And they'll know that I love them and that they have my heart and I have theirs, because we confess things to each other and God is the same way. Psalms 51:17 says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise." This word contrite is not one that we use in everyday language, but it means remorse. And despise means low opinion. This Bible verse is basically saying, listen, I'm going to think so highly of you, not when you're perfect, but when you are imperfect, you mess up, you come ask me for forgiveness. I'm going to think so highly of you and be so proud of you, because God cares less about the fact that you mess up and he cares more about what you do after you mess up. I wrote it this way. God doesn't want your perfection. He just wants your heart. So if you're here today and maybe you messed up, maybe you have some hidden sin, maybe you have an addiction, maybe, you know, you've made a money, an idol in your life, whatever it is, whatever hidden secret you have, go to him, give it to him, confess it to him so he can help you with it. Or maybe for you, it's not a sin. Maybe it's a worry. Maybe the thing that's, like David said, is taking from your energy, strapping you like the heat of the summer. Maybe it's a worry for you. Give that to him. Maybe you're worried about your finances, your kids not serving God, or that you're never going to be healed. Keep giving that to him daily. This is not part of my fess up when you mess up point, but I feel like another reason why David had such a close relationship with God is because he was constantly giving everything to him. His sins, his transgressions, his worries. That's the whole book of Psalms, y'all. That's just him constantly talking to God, giving everything to God. And that encourages me so much, because last year, I know this year the focus is reading the Bible, but last year was prayer. And I remember I was like, I'm the pastor. That means that I need to like lead the charge. I need to like pray an hour a day and or an hour every morning. And so like I tried, y'all. I woke up in the morning and I tried to pray. And it was so hard, because like he's laughing because he knows. The struggle is real. Like, I would try to get up in the morning, but then the kids are knocking on the door and the dogs are barking, and I'm like, God, I'm just not holy right now. And it was so hard. And then I told my husband, I'm like, can we wake up earlier? Because I need to wake up earlier than the kids. And he's like, no, because we did the sleep study and we can't wake up till a certain time because optimal sleep. And I'm like, I'm never going to get close to God. And then I remember, God told me this. He was like, you don't do that in your relationship with your husband. Why are you trying to do that with me? And then I thought about it, and it makes sense. Like, imagine if I told my husband, I'm going to give you just 1 hour a day to talk. Like, we're going to talk today for an hour in the morning, and then I'll see you tomorrow for an hour. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, we're close because we talk to each other throughout the whole day. You know, we talk in the morning. We talk at night. I called him whenever my dog Blue had a seizure and I was crying. Like, we send each other text messages. That's the kind of relationship God wants with you. He says, pray without ceasing. He wants you to talk to him whenever you're about to go into that board meeting or go for that diagnosis. Talk to him throughout the day. That is the kind of relationship that God wants with you. Amen. And for my last point, I want to talk to you about one more person who made God his best friend, and that was Paul. If you don't know who Paul is, he was originally a murderer of Christians, but then he became a Christian himself. And when that happened, and when he started serving God, his life was not without trials. I'm going to list all the things that happened to him. He was kidnapped, beaten, threatened, arrested many times, accused in lawsuits, interrogated, ridiculed, ignored, shipwrecked, and bitten by a viper. And after having gone through all these trials, this is what he says. Again, this is Paul that's gone through so much. Philippians 4:12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in every circumstance. This part, I have learned the secret. He learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that God will be revealed in us. He's basically saying no matter what you go through, what God has for you is even better. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul went through all these trials, but the way he got through it, his secret, what he learned to be God's best friend. And the way he did that was because he learned to find the good. And that's my last point, find the good. Find the good. Listen, you got to learn how to find the good in your friends. You might have a friend that maybe talks a lot and sometimes could be annoying, but they're the ones that you call on that Saturday afternoon when you need someone to help you move and they're there for you. I have friends that I'll tell you right now, like, I would not take advice from them about how to raise my kids because their kids are ratchet. But I stay friends with them because they make me laugh and we have a good time. So when I'm sad, I know who to call to hang out with. You keep them as good friends because you realize that the good outweighs the bad. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You have to find the good. And this idea of find the good reminds me of thrifting. If you follow me on social media, then you know that I really like thrifting. That's like my favorite thing to do by myself. So I'm like, come on, someone likes thrifting. And yeah, let's go. I love a good deal. And so like when I post on social media, by the way, you guys go crazy in the comments. Like, where did you find that, Pastor Liz? What Goodwill did you go to? Which, listen, just go to all the Goodwills, all right? I mean, sometimes I avoid the ones in the hood, all right? But go to the ones in the good areas. But so anyways, whenever I post, people always ask me the same question. They're like, what is your secret? Like, how do you, and they're like, because for me, whenever I go to the thrift store, like I walk in and everything just looks like trash and junk to me. And so like, I get it. But like my secret is that when I walk into a thrift store, I walk in and I tell myself, I'm going to find something good here today. And like, so for me, maybe, you know, it's summertime and it might not be something that's for summer. I'll find some boots that I could use when I go, you know, to Colorado in the winter. Or maybe in the wintertime, I find not a bathing suit. Don't buy a bathing suit from the thrift store. Or underwear, okay? But sandals, you could buy sandals. You could always find something for some season in your life. And there's been times where I've gone in and maybe I come out with just a t-shirt. But there was this one time, y'all, I found a Louis Vuitton for $10. Come on, somebody. Come on. And it was a Goodwill, actually, right here on the corner from the church. So, like, now y'all on Mother's Day are all going to show up over there. They're going to be like, why is this Goodwill so packed right now? But the reason why I share this is because you got to learn how to find the good in the trials. Don't allow the devil to tell you that God's not good when you go through hard times. God allows those things for your good. You got to fight that lie. And if you're here today and you're thinking, Pastor Liz, well, you don't know what I've been through. It's really hard to find the good in my life. I don't know what you've been through, but I could tell you what I've been through and the good that I've been able to find through all of it. Growing up, when I was about, 5 years old, I was molested as a child. And it was a hard time for me. Like, I remember feeling that God wasn't there and that he wasn't good, because why did he allow this to happen to me? And I remember that I struggled so bad. Like, I started to have sexual thoughts. I was a little kid, y'all, and I would go to bed at night having these thoughts that I knew that wasn't from God. And I remember crying out to God, and I remember going to a kids camp, which, by the way, that's why it's so important that you send your kids to Journey Kids. They're not babysitting over there. They're teaching them the word. My kids have come back tithing, like, just their character is different. And I remember going to this kids camp and praying to God. I'm like, God, take this from me. Every time I would go to bed at night, I would have these thoughts, these sexual thoughts. And I prayed, take that from me. And he did, y'all. And through that, even though it was a hard time, I learned that God was my healer, that God can heal anything. And I didn't have those thoughts at night anymore. But then as a teenager growing up, I walked away from God. And I remember getting pregnant. And I remember the fact that my dad was a pastor, and I felt like I didn't know what else to do because I didn't want to defame his character. And so I went to the clinic and I terminated the pregnancy. And it was so hard for me because I remember for years carrying this guilt and this shame of the mistakes I had made. And then after that, I got saved, and then God called me into ministry. And I'm like, I can't do this though, because I'm a murderer. And then he reminded me about Paul and how he was a murderer. And then God told me, I have called you for such a time as this. It doesn't matter what you've done. You've come to me with it, and I've forgiven you. And I learned from that God was my redeemer. And then as a married adult, I found out that my husband was struggling with a porn addiction, and it was so hard because struggling with the fact that my husband was looking elsewhere made me feel insecure, and all of my insecurities were coming up, and I'm like, God, I just remember getting on my knees praying, God, take this away from him and me, like, heal us. And to make a long story short, God healed my husband. Like, I can 100% tell you that he healed him and me through that process. And I learned through that God was my rock and my fortress. And many of you guys know, too, that we lost a child. And I remember praying for God to heal him all the while and thinking that that was the only way I could see a miracle come out of this. And God didn't heal my child, and he passed away. But I never fell into a depression. And I learned that through that God was my comforter. And it was going through that allowed us to start this church. Because as hard as it was, it wasn't as hard as losing a child. It was just like Paul said, I learned to find the good. And maybe you grew up poor and you hate that, but because you grew up poor, you know how to live off less now. Maybe you lost a loved one, but through that, you've learned to hold on tight to the ones that are still here with you that you love. Or maybe you have a spouse that walked away from you. If you're here today, that means you're here. Like, God has helped you through it. He is your sustainer. That's a good thing. Learn to find the good. And understand that God works out all the bad for your good. Romans 8:28, I'm gonna read it again. And we know that in all things, not just some, all of them, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, because that's what he does. He works out the bad for your good. And if you're here today and you don't have a friendship with God, he's not your best friend because you're having a really hard time finding the good. Maybe you feel like he's left you. He's not for you. He's against you. He's upset that you've messed up and he's not with you. I'm here to tell you that is not the case. He's for you, not against you. He's not upset that you messed up. He's sad that you haven't come to him. And he's always been there in the good times and the bads. He's been there just waiting for you to accept him. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? There is nothing that could be done to you or that you could do to separate you from God's love. God loves you. And I used to think that choosing to see the good in my hardships was choosing to be blind to the things that were going on in my life and the bad. But now I understand that it's choosing to see that God's fingerprint has been on my life all the while. I wrote it this way: choosing to see God in our hardships is choosing to see God's fingerprint on our lives. Let's all stand to our feet. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you wanted to just give up on God. You feel like you didn't experience the transformation that you wanted, that you see other people experience. Maybe it's because you didn't make him your best friend, or maybe you do have a relationship with God, but it's not as close as you would like it to be. All my points are on the screen behind me. And I just wanted you to take a moment and meditate. Maybe for you, it's because you need to be willing to do the things that don't make sense. Maybe you got to fess up the things that you messed up on, or you need to learn how to find the good through your trials. If that's you today, I just want to pray for you. If we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we're all here today. We're all here for one reason. Whether we realize it or not, because we want or need a closer relationship with you. So I pray for all these people that are here today that need a closer relationship, we all do, to be your best friend. I just pray right now that you help us. Help us be willing. Be willing to do the thing that doesn't make sense or it's uncomfortable. Help us to fess up when we mess up, to come to you whenever we make mistakes, no matter how many times we do it, because we know you're gonna forgive us and you're gonna help us overcome it. And I just pray right now for those who are having a hard time finding the good to their trials. I pray that they would find it, God, today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're here today and maybe you say, forget about friendship with God, I don't even have a relationship with God, then I have one more Bible verse for you. Revelation 3:20. It says, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me. If that's you, if you're here today and you say, I don't even have a relationship with God, then I want to tell you, God really wants to be your best friend. So much so that he did all three. He was willing to do the thing that didn't make sense. He died on the cross for your sins, and that didn't make sense because he was sinless and blameless himself, but he did it because he loved you. Talk about fess up when you mess up. He fessed up when you messed up. And finding the good, he found the good in you. As messed up as you are, as messed up as we all are, he finds the good and he wants to be friends with you today. So if that's you today, and if you say, I need a relationship with God and I want to make a decision to follow him today, I want you on the count of three to raise your right hand high in the sky as a sign and a symbol of saying, God, I want to start that friendship with you today. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3. I see your hands. Thank you, Jesus. You could put your hands down. If you could pray, if you raise your hand, pray this prayer after me. Church, if you could pray with them to not leave them hanging. Dear God, today I realize I need you as my friend. Come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I acknowledge that you died on the cross for my sins. And I want to start a new relationship with you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message, and we would love to hear your story and how this ministry is changing your life. Please email us at amen@journeyorl.com. And if you would like to support financially, you can give online at journeyorl.com/give. If you're in the area, join us on Sunday for the full experience. Have a blessed week.